Hello, hello everyone, and welcome back to the Doctrine Detox Podcast. This is episode number 38, and today I want to address something that's been in my inbox quite a bit lately. And by lately, I mean really since the induction of the show back in October. And that is when I or my guests talk about child abuse, specifically that indoctrination is child abuse. One point that I see brought up in all of these emails and DMs is that saying indoctrination is child abuse and then leaving it at that is nothing better than liberal or atheist scare tactics or propaganda. Usually it's surrounded by hateful words and poor grammar, but that's the gist of it. And I have to say, I agree. I understand. To say this is child abuse, full stop, not quantifying it, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. So today I'm going to address that because that's a perfectly valid gripe to have with this show. And it's worth expanding upon. So this past week, I had the opportunity to watch the documentary Jesus Camp, which if you haven't seen it, you've at least probably seen the memes from it where there's a little girl who commands a bowling ball in the name of Jesus to knock down all the pins, which I finally got to see the resolution to that. It was an absolute gutter ball. Or just the really, really creepy shots of kids who are just absolutely deep in worship of something that they don't fully understand, something that they don't even partially understand. And it's terrifying to watch, but also it's been memed to death because it's one of those things that's so scary it's almost funny, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but you'd have to watch it to understand. Anyway, the film follows a woman named Becky Fisher, who is a children's outreach minister, who puts on a yearly camp in Devil Creek, North Dakota, which I think is an absolutely ironic place for you to put on any sort of evangelical conference, but especially one for kids, who puts on this conference for children who are, I'm assuming, 12 and under. None of the kids looked adolescent. I saw adults there, you know, who were chaperones and leaders and some parents who were there, but there were children 12 and under partaking in various Christian activities. Some of these activities included yelling to God about a more righteous and holy government while symbolically smashing these mugs with hammers that say things like government or whatever on them, and sitting in these long, very passionate, very emotional sermons talking about abortion. And there's even one section of the film that really disturbed me deeply, where they had a cardboard cutout of President Bush on the stage. And mind you, this was 2006, so that's when he was the president. But they had a cardboard cutout of him on the stage, and they were telling the kids to pray at this cardboard cutout and then do warfare over him, was the way they worded it, where they're speaking in tongues and yelling in tongues and shouting and screaming all of these prayers, and they have no idea what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're praying about. You can tell they don't know what they're doing, but everyone else is doing it and are happy to be part of this group and doing something that they're being rewarded for and praised for, and so they're happy to do it. And at the end of that shot, it was very disturbing to watch. There was this, literally, it was a cardboard cutout of President Bush with the American flag behind him, and they had like some other like little patriotic paraphernalia around it, and like the adults were doing it too, and it was so awkward and weird and incredibly unnecessarily political. And now at this point, you may or may not be thinking to yourself, well, Adrian, that's a documentary about a particularly radical Christian camp. Like, that's not everyday occurrences or anything, which it absolutely is. That's kind of how I was raised. When I was watching this documentary, I felt disturbed and strange and almost dread and terror. But most of all, I felt overwhelming familiarity. Granted, a lot of my time in children's church, you know, from when I was young enough to comprehend thoughts up until I graduated from Children's Church to sitting in the main sermon. A lot of it could be noted by just learning the basics, you know, the story of Jonah and the whale, or Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego, or whatever VeggieTales was talking about at the time, just like any other children's church was. However, it was not an uncommon occurrence for these conversations, for these sermons, to be jacked by the topics of hellbound homosexuals, or abominable abortion, or how the government is demonic and how they're trying to take away Bibles and prayer in the schools and everything like that. And things like that terrified me the most. I didn't want to hear about the real world, because the real world that they explained to me was terrifying. It was an awful place to live in. And it turns out it's just a place that they made up, because prayer is absolutely allowed in the schools. If you don't want an abortion, don't get one. Same with a gay marriage. And I could talk about these subjects for hours, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about how I was no older than 12 when any of these given subjects were taught to me. And even sometimes I would be as young as like 5 years old, just barely old enough to think. And they would already be shoving this stuff down our throats. The world that was created for me and for these children in this documentary was a terrifying place. A place where we're going to teach you how to live this way, and then the whole world is going to come after you for living this way. But it turns out that's a false narrative. It's a fake story. It's fake news. But I didn't know that at the time, and I'm sure these children didn't know that at the time. It's entirely possible that even to this day, some of those children still don't know that. Those children, by the way, are pretty much the same age as me now. The documentary came out in 2006, and there were a lot of kids who were around the age of 9 years old, which is how old I was when this documentary was released. But because we were brought up to believe that the world was out to get us, that we were right for living the way that we were living, but everyone else who didn't live this way was evil and trying to get you for it, I lived with so much anxiety and fear. And I know that several of my friends did, as you have heard previously on this podcast. And I know that several of those kids from that show, from that movie, definitely did too. I think one of the most telling and also one of the most frightening segments of that movie was toward the beginning, when you're first getting introduced to Becky Fisher and who she is. She talks about how in Syria, there are children's camps where they teach them how to handle hand grenades or fire an AK-47. And she didn't talk about how scary that was so much. She did a little bit, but she didn't talk about how scary it was so much as she was saying that she wanted to train kids to be just as devoted to the Christian cause as those kids were to the Muslim cause. And if that doesn't tell you everything that you need to know, I don't know what does. And the sad thing is, too, one of the people in the documentary, a megachurch pastor named Ted Haggard, was talking about how it was for political reasons that they were doing this. He was saying that there are so many megachurches in America today that if all of them voted, they could get what they wanted politically every single time. I don't know if that's true. I didn't run those numbers, but the idea is to indoctrinate people so that they can have their way politically. Christianity, at least modern American Christianity, as we see it, is a political scheme more than it is a religion or a belief system, or at the very least, they're intertwined. You can't call yourself a conservative without calling yourself a Christian as well. The same isn't necessarily true vice versa, because as you've seen on the show, we've had some very, very good Christians who would be classified as more liberal, but there is a certain twisted kind of Christianity here in America that is very, very prominent, that is also incredibly political as well. Now, as an aside, which has absolutely nothing to do with the rest of this, but I thought was absolutely hilarious, is that the same guy, Ted Haggard, was shown several times throughout the documentary bashing homosexuality and, you know, saying, you know, if you're having an affair right now, give me $1,000 and I won't tell your wife. Or like there was one time where he looked directly into the camera and he said, I know what you did last night. Well, it turns out that Ted Haggard, in 2006, the year that this documentary was released, was found out to be in an extramarital affair with a man. And I think that's just the funniest thing. The funniest and also kind of sad. Really, when it comes to things that I find funny when it comes to Christianity, those things are also incredibly sad. And this is definitely one of them. Anyway, that was just a funny little aside. But back to the subject at hand. Aside from the terror and the anxiety and the paranoia that was brought about by this belief system that was telling me that everyone who wasn't a Christian was out to get me, you were also taught from a very, very young age that you are dirty and you're not enough and that you're inherently bad just for existing as a human and that you're only good enough with God. Now, any Christian listening to this right now would be thinking to themselves and probably even yelling at whatever device they're listening to this on, well, just accept Jesus Christ and you won't be those things anymore. God will make you whole. He will make you enough. He will make you pure again, wash you white as snow. I've read the Wordless book. I know that argument. But here's the thing. So much of Christianity and so much of church sermons talks about how all of the things that humans do on a regular basis are things that God doesn't approve of. And these things that God doesn't approve of draw us further away from Him. And if we're further away from God, then we are still broken and empty and not enough and bad and dirty. And every time we do something that hurts the heart of God, we are once again bad and dirty and all of those things. And we will always be all of those things until we die. And then Jesus will take your spirit and make you good and clean and whole and pure again. But nothing in this life, which is the only life you have ever known, will ever be good enough. And that's just too much for any reasonably minded person. I do have a bit of hope throughout all of this, though, because all throughout that documentary, the children and the adults alike kept referencing, this is the key generation. This is one of the most important generations. And honestly, that's something that I heard a lot too when I was a kid. Your generation, talking about the one that I'm in, is going to be the most important generation when it comes to bringing people to Christ or when it comes to just the concept of evangelism in general. Your generation, the millennial / Gen Z, is the most important one. And I'm sure other generations have heard that too, but this is the most recent time that it's been said, I think. And like I mentioned earlier, those kids are the same age as me. I was 9 years old when this documentary came out. I would have been old enough to go to that camp. And I have been to similar camps during that time of my life. And I know a lot of people in my generation who have left the church entirely. In fact, this generation is the one that is causing the most upset when it comes to percentages of people who are leaving the church. As of this year, as of this generation, the people who proclaim to be Christian, who go to church on the regular, are no longer in the majority. That means that, yes, the prophecy was correct. But perhaps misinterpreted it was, to quote Yoda from Star Wars, Attack of the Clones. Because, yes, this generation was important for the concept of evangelism. But because we would all leave it at practically the same time, Granted, I do still know people from my own generation who are still in the church, and that's fine. But a lot of those people are either A, people who never left their hometown, never decided to question their own beliefs, and are just going to be complacent in their lives forever, or B, people who have traveled or evaluated their own life or just seen what life is like outside of their little bubble and reconstructed their belief system to a form of Christianity that fits, a form of Christianity that actually loves people, like we've seen with people like Jesse Dick or Spencer Melton or Lily Case or any of the other Christians that I've had here on the show. I've said it before and I'll say it again, that those Christians are the good ones. I, having grown up in a very Christian society, a very Christian community, know good and bad Christianity when I see it, and that's definitely good Christianity, where you make love the focal point, which is what it was all about to begin with. God is love, so why not lead with that? And I feel like, too, if you were to raise kids with that kind of Christianity in mind, that love-forward Christianity in mind, I think there would be a lot less anxiety and paranoia among children and young adults, and I think there would be a lot less feelings of not being good enough for any given person or any given situation or task, and I think that you would have a lot less people leaving the church. The problem isn't the fact that there is sin in America. The problem is that there is wretchedness in the church. And that's why people are leaving. Now, while I do believe that religious indoctrination is abusive to children, at least in the current form of religious indoctrination that we see, I also understand that it is very, very difficult to raise a child without a belief system if you and your family are very deep inside of that belief system. It's like asking an Orthodox Jew or an Amish person, people who their belief system is literally their entire lives. They base everything around that. It's like asking those people, hey, don't raise your children with your beliefs. That's impossible. It's part of their lives. And I understand that. I just feel like raising children with your beliefs, but also with a healthy dose of critical thinking and rational science would be very useful. And then let them choose when they're old enough. But forcing a child into a belief system that they wouldn't have otherwise chosen, I think, is a very bad idea. Now, I understand. Who's to say that they would or would not have chosen that? I don't know. But at least give them that freedom, you know? For example, choosing to homeschool your child instead of sending them out into the world and seeing what there is to offer, and then when they get home, teaching them your own belief systems as well. I think that's a pretty bad idea. The former, not the latter. I should know, too, that's exactly my life story. If you've listened to the first episode of this podcast, I go over that kind of thing where I went to a private school for a couple of years and I made friends and things like that. But when I had a lot of siblings and we couldn't afford to pay for all of these siblings to go to a private school anymore, instead of sending us to a public school where we could learn what they teach us there and also develop social skills and make friends and what have you, we were all homeschooled and isolated. And the only really interaction that we got was church. And I know that we are not the only family that did that. There is an incredible number of families who have done the exact same thing to their children. And their children have turned out one of three ways. One, they are still in the church because they didn't reevaluate their belief system. Two, they became so paranoid, so depressed, so whatever, that they've either turned to some sort of addiction or suicide. Or three, they've ended up like me, where I left the church entirely and I developed my own social skills after I left my home. And folks, let me tell you, neither of those three options are preferable. all of them have cons that far outweigh the pros. Because either A, you find yourself in complacency, which is not a happy life for anyone. B, you find yourself in the throes of depression or suicide, which, again, is not a happy place for anyone. Or C, you find yourself ostracized by most of your family, if not all of them, kicked out of homes even in some cases. Fortunately, that wasn't the case for me. Or you find yourself with a severe lack of confidence. Even now, to this day, I'm still working on my confidence. One compliment that I receive in my DMs all the time is that I sound so confident on the air. And thank you. I'm glad that you hear that in my voice. But let me tell you, it's an act, folks, because I am not. And I know that there are several other people who were homeschooled, who were indoctrinated as children, who are still very lacking in that confidence. And that takes a while to overcome. So while this may be a controversial take, you may agree or disagree with me, that's why I think that indoctrination is inherently child abuse. And I've felt this way since long before I deconverted. Anyway, folks, that's all I have for you today. If you have your own stories of indoctrination and overcoming it or trying to overcome it, please feel free to at me on Twitter at Doctrine Detox or on Instagram at Doctrine Detox Pod. You're also more than welcome to send me an email at doctrinedetoxpod@gmail.com. But anyway, folks, thank you so much for listening. And never, ever forget that everything is going to be okay. The Doctrine Detox Podcast is written, recorded, and produced by Adrian Cardwell. Original intro and outro music is Doctrine Detox by Adrian Cardwell.